Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. My name is Bruce Dickey. I'm joined by a couple of guests that I've done this show. We did this show last year. I don't know. It was last year the first year we did this one, Bill?
I think so, yeah.
And it's always a lot of fun. Last year was a good time. There's a big ham radio field day going on this weekend, and we take this time to talk about amateur radio and how important it is to society as a whole and the world in general, right?
Well, that's what we'd hope.
Yeah. I'm joined by Bill Schrode. How you doing, Bill?
Okay.
And I'm Dennis Poland. How you doing, Dennis?
Just fine.
Appreciate you guys coming on the show this morning to talk about ham radio. Okay. Do I have anybody out there listening right now who is actually on the ham radio, or are they working on their ham radio right now and like listening to somebody in Bora Bora?
Well,
how does
that's
that
also possible.
I was just wondering. I just want tell me about amateur
I'm
radio.
I'm not sure what the
they do have some nets going on right now.
Yeah, there's some nets going. What we call nets, where they hook up and they try to call a specific area or a specific state or a specific, you know, there's people out there playing with the stuff. That's all contest type stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They get recognition for how many people they've called and where they've called and so on and so forth. You've worked all states, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you up to 50 states? I don't think you were there last year, were you?
Oh yeah. I got my worked all states, and consist of is making one contact with an amateur that lives in all 50 states.
How many countries you have to?
Eight.
Oh, really? I'm surprised it's that low if you've already got all states.
Oh, when the band conditions depict that. Whenever the bands are open, your signal goes. When it's not, you can't talk 10 feet away.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
We rely on...
Dennis, I got no idea what you just said.
It's like back in the old days, before TV, outside antenna TV went digital, you had analog. And whenever the weather would, like before a storm or right after,
sure,
you could get like, well, just use for instance, from here to Evansville or to St. Louis.
Yeah.
And then whenever that they had openings, you would get stations farther away coming in that you normally wouldn't go. That's band conditions.
I see.
It's affected by the sun.
All right. Tell me all about amateur radio, Bill.
Amateur radio was started back in, 1912, thereabout?
Mm-hmm.
Was all Morse code in those days. The first digital medium, for those of you that didn't know that. It was the first digital medium.
You know the digit you're using for that medium?
Yeah, right.
Your finger.
But
that's a ham radio joke. I like
and
that.
And that was the beginning of actually all broadcasting. Broadcasting started out as amateur stations. Hey, this guy can talk from here to there. Let's put one up and see what happens.
Okay.
So on and so forth. And a guy by the name of Hiram Percy Maxim decided to organize the ham radio operators. And I think the last time we were here, it was 100th anniversary year, wasn't it? Or was that the year before?
Year before.
It was the 100th anniversary of the
organization.
Of the ARRL, Amateur Radio Relay League. And actually,
that's been around longer than the National Football League.
Yes.
Well, let's don't go there. the ham radio actually came into its own during both wars, first and second, providing communications and information across the ocean, so on and so forth. And we still do that today. We relay messages from Army camps and all that sort of thing.
Is that
back
right?
And forth. Yes. That's called health and welfare information. And the Red Cross has ham radio operations all over the place. Salvation Army has ham radio operations
over
the place. Yeah. And that's what their primary function is. But then we also get involved, and IEMA and FEMA have all gotten together and decided, you know, ham radio's been kind of pushed to the side. the last few years.
Yeah.
We need to incorporate them back into the emergency system.
Len and I were talking about that just a little while ago. The way we put it, if you had Stormageddon or something, that ham radio is basically the only people who are going to be left around. And, you know, while we were having fun with it, that's partially true, isn't
they
it?
Were the only, they were the only people able to communicate for a week or better in New York during Sandy. Mm-hmm. Or after Sandy, and over in Missouri, over there. After Joplin, yeah, was all that was left.
Don't forget Katrina.
That's another one. Cell towers were down. The infrastructure was tore up. All the central offices for telephones were flooded out.
How do the emergency medical or the emergency management agencies use ham radio operators? Do they have you guys networked already before something happens or something, and then they activate it, and you guys all of a sudden
kind of what Field Day is about. Is we go out to some place and we throw a wire in a tree, just to be silly about it.
Put a wire up. That's what you're doing.
We throw a wire in a tree, hook a car battery up to a radio, and we see what we get. Now, we do a little more complex hookup than that. At our operation, we have like four or five people operating all at once on different bands, and we have antennas for certain bands and certain functions.
But what information were like at Katrina or Joplin or Hurricane Sandy, what kind of information were the operators relaying?
Well, they would relay, questions would come in, is my uncle okay, is my father, and they would set up and contact people outside the area. Can you find this guy's sister-in-law and let her know?
Right?
That sort of thing, yeah.
So these guys would...
They're basically the message board system that public service does not have time to fool with, literally, in a situation like that.
Well, I don't have time with it because it's destroyed or it's down. Right?
And we're also, those of us that are qualified, and he and I are now qualified as what they call OXCOMs, we would be in charge of the ham radio section of the communications unit. If an emergency situation came up and they called us in to serve, we would come in, set up stations, and we would handle the lesser urgent traffic or the lesser security traffic over the radio, voice, or, in the case of, we have keyboard-to-keyboard mediums, as they're known, so we can send secure type information without anybody hearing it.
You're not talking.
But that's basically what they're trying to get us incorporated back in, so we're a normal call in an emergency situation.
How's that going? Let me ask it a different way. At what point did the government agencies realize that they had left a important cog out of the communications wheel for emergencies?
It started with, in Illinois, it started with that Starcom 21. That's, they're supposed to be a statewide communication for state police. And there are some agencies that are on Department of Corrections, Illinois Emergency Management Association. And they have noticed that when the ground shakes or somebody over in Indiana chops a fiber line, everything south of I-70, all that Starcom stuff goes to the wayside. And you got state troopers out there
who need a little information.
Yeah, they use Starcom, and it's a digital mode, 800 megahertz. And if they can't talk from their car to dispatch, they can't get nothing.
Yeah.
And if they're, if the cell phones are down, and they go, well, how can we get information back and forth if this goes down? They got to have something to back them up, and they put all their faith in that statewide system, and it's not foolproof.
Really? So how did they realize that it wasn't foolproof? Was it some guy cutting a ditch in Patoka, Indiana, or something like that?
A guy over
backhoe fade, we call it.
A backhoe?
Yeah, backhoe fade.
That's the technical term.
Got somebody north of Vincennes, Indiana, on US 41 was cleaning out a ditch. He hit the fiber line, and Southern Illinois went deaf. Now, all the sheriff departments, they still had their two-way radios.
Yeah.
The state police didn't have it because they took all their two-way radio.
The radio would have been, the radio isn't necessary anymore.
Yeah, their VHF radio is out, which they used to be on VHF and low band. And that's when you seen them long antennas on the side of the car with the spring on it. That 800 megahertz is not very good for, only for a couple miles line of sight, and that's it.
How long ago was that?
I'd been about 3 years whenever they cut that, since they cut
that. I was going to say, Bill, it takes a little bit of time once amateur radio had been kind of cut out of the feeding bowl. Probably takes a little time to rebuild that network, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it does. A lot of it is liaison work, which is part of what I do.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, that's what there you're doing here today.
Yeah, there have been some attitude problems on both sides of the fence here and there, which we won't go into, but it's...
Yeah,
it's
I am recording it now.
It's just a constant, you know, hey, we're here to help, so on and so forth. Not, we're from the government, we're here to help. But we're here to help.
Famous last words.
Yeah, you know.
I'm talking to Bill Schroed along with Dennis Pollard. We're talking about the ham radio, amateur radio, and they've got a big field day coming up this weekend. We're going to talk a little bit about that and all kinds of more stuff when we return here on WFIW AM and FM Fairfield. Back in just a bit. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you listening in today. By the way, today's business of the day is Tequila Sheila. Sheila says be listening for details about the party of the year coming in July at Tequila Sheila's. Enjoy live country and rock music, lots of flat screen television, Budweiser merchandise, giveaways, pizza, drink specials, no cover charge, and much more during the huge 10th anniversary party coming soon at Tequila Sheila's. Woo-hoo! In Grayville, the today's business of the day. Appreciate those folks. All right, my guests across the way, Bill Schroed along with Dennis Poland. I got it, Poland. I said it right that time, Dennis.
Yes, you did.
Okay. I apologize, by the way, in advance for saying Pollard on the radio. And my wife's name is Pollard, so you can understand that, right?
Sure.
I get Schroed right. I know nobody named Schroed other than Bill.
Go down to, where is it, Boonville. There's a Schroed Realty, no relation.
Oh, is that right? Yes. Okay. All right. We're talking about amateur radio today, and ham radio, for the want of a different term, that most people probably know. How did it become ham radio, just instead of amateur radio? People just got lazy, too lazy to say amateur radio?
No.
You want this one?
No, you can take it.
Oh, thanks.
You got it in front of you.
Well, I don't have that sheet in front of me. Because it started out in Morse code, and this is one version of several different stories.
There are different legends on
how. There are different legends. Okay. But because it started out in Morse code, the style that you do in Morse code, of course, there has to be some consistencies for everybody to understand it.
Sure.
Okay. Or copy it, as we call it.
Yeah, probably dialect, though.
There's two different styles. There's Farnsworth, and I can't think of the other one at the moment.
Huh.
But it's referred to as the style that you use, or the rhythm with which you work, is referred to as your fist.
Okay.
This is a carryover from the old telegraph days on the railroad, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And many people that pound the key hard are referred to as ham-fisted.
Ham-fisted. I love it. So that's where the
that's one of them.
That's where the term ham-fisted came from, too, possibly.
Yes, sir.
I got to tell you, that's a
and
great
now
one.
For our next.
If I'd stick with that one. I think that's a great.
Well, it's the shortest one to tell.
All right, Bill. All right, tell me what's going on this weekend.
Okay, this weekend is our annual Field Day ARRL sponsored event, where a lot of hams and let me get my.
So you call yourself hams?
Call ourselves ham? Well, we call ourselves anything but late for dinner. A lot of hams in a lot of places all over the world, actually.
And this is not just here.
This is
a worldwide event this weekend.
I'll give you a web address. If you don't feel like coming to Parkersburg, you can hunt on there for.
Well, I had just had a friend of mine saying he's going to the Flora one.
Ah, okay. Yeah, there's one over there.
I don't know if you know them by.
We know them.
Do you know people by numbers versus names, or how's that work?
Call signs, yeah.
Let's see. This is my friend Brian, and 73's KC9WQU.
Okay, I don't know of him. I think maybe he might be the guy that's got that DMR repeater down here.
That might be the guy. Yeah,
that's probably the guy.
He has a digital repeater.
Lives here in Fairfield.
Yeah, lives here in Fairfield. That sounds right. Yeah. Anyway, last year, just for an example, there were 2,720 stations that submitted their data from Field Day.
Really?
For their activities.
Submitted it to the ARRL.
The only non-contest activity that they have all year long.
Otherwise, when it's contest activity, that's when you're trying to get contacts, right?
Right.
Yeah, they have.
But they had nearly 1.3 million contacts logged last year.
During Field Day.
With 35,369 individuals taking part.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. How many did you get up to Parkersburg last year?
I think we had close to 200 contacts.
I was going
to
say, I thought you were going to have a pretty nice crowd.
We have a couple of people that sack out overnight, you know. But
I'm one of them. Yeah, you are too.
He sacks out. I take naps. I'm out in the...
Okay, so yeah.
I'm out in the deployable, I call it.
Explain what you're talking about. Because this is all going to start at 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And it runs until 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon.
Yes. Right? Or if you want to come around 8 o'clock, you can learn how to rig antennas because that's what we'll be out there doing. Is
before
stuff up
8 o'clock Saturday morning.
Yeah, they have set rules, and if you can start setting up Saturday night, but you can't start according to the
Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night. Yeah, you can start setting up at a certain time Friday night, and you got to be done by a certain time, or you can start Saturday. And if you set up before this time, you can only operate 24 hours. If you set up starting at 1 o'clock, which is 1800 UTC, or Greenwich Mean Time, what it used to be, or Zulu time.
It's Zulu.
It's 5 hours ahead of what we are.
When we're in daylight savings time, it's 5 hours ahead.
Right. Otherwise,
when we're in Central, it's 6 hours.
Yeah.
That one never changes with daylight savings time. When we switch clocks forward.
Now what's UTC then? Because this is 1800. That'd be 6 p.m. Okay, that's 5 o'clock. Okay, I was thinking 8 o'clock. Okay. All right, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Go ahead. So it'll be starting here at 1300.
Yeah, 1300.
Here.
Local.
Yeah, it's military time.
Yeah.
It's in hundreds of hours.
I got you.
And, you know, they have certain criteria you have to do, and then there's, as far as operating, You have to decide on whose call we're going to use. We're going to use our club call, which is W9GH, or Whiskey 9 Golf Hotel, if you say it in phonetics. And we're going to start at 1, and we'll probably be tearing down around 6 and 8 o'clock Sunday morning.
Well, now, that's going to be before the end.
Yeah, you don't have to run the whole 24.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no. Yeah, there's a lot of clubs.
We want our main goal, the last couple of years anyway, has been to get everything set up that requires grunt work and everything torn down that requires grunt work before the temperature gets above like 85.
See, now that makes sense.
Our separate, I mean, Mother Nature went storms. Or,
but yeah, we've had the first 2 years, we had some fabulous storms. Now, radio, AM type radio, as you know out here,
yeah,
being what it is, when the ground gets really wet, the signal gets really good.
Sure, sure. You bet it does. I mean, but then if you have lightning, though, along with the wet ground, it can kind of affect the signal, right?
Yes, it does, to some extent. I
especially
mean,
if somebody has their equipment hooked up.
You got, yeah, a, you got a noise figure involved.
Yeah, right? Oh, probably
I,
often,
being the safety officer for the event, make sure everybody is grounded properly and all that sort of thing. I run around with all kinds of ground wires.
All right, now, I got a question. I got, now, it's going to sound like a stupid question. You're running out there. You're going to set everything up on Saturday morning at Friday night at in the dark, or whenever it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to put up an antenna.
Right.
Does everyone share the same antenna, or does everybody bring their own antenna?
No, we generally have three or four antennas up.
Okay.
There's a couple of people that bring a couple of their own, depending if they're, because you can't do all the bands on one antenna.
Oh, okay.
You can try real hard, but
it ain't going to work.
It don't work. I have an antenna that I can tune to most of the shortwave bands. And then I will probably put up a VHF, UHF for short range,
sure,
stuff, like we talk to the repeaters when we're just running around in the street with,
yeah,
with our car radios. But that's, so I'll have two. You'll have the Wyndham again, mm-hmm, I assume, which is a very long wire thing.
It's
stretched out between a couple of different support points.
How long? How long an antenna you got there, Dennis?
You're 80 feet.
No, it's longer than that. It's 140 feet long. It's
so
long.
Height, but height doesn't matter. You're just going to string it up on a, like a clothesline or something.
Height
or
helps. I've got Army surplus communications support equipment,
okay,
poles, whatever,
yeah,
you want to call them, that we string the stuff between, and
okay,
it's easy up, easy
it'll,
down.
It'll be
stuff.
At my antenna. Will be about 24 to 30 feet off the ground.
Oh, okay.
That's right. Good. That's
well. I can see why the storms might bother you, though. Because the wind's going to blow an antenna down.
Mine's never blowed over. First year we was at Parkersburg, Bill's blew over. Just went like that. And we went out after
it's
the rain.
It's plastic. It just lays down.
How many years have you guys been doing this?
This will be the fourth year.
The club has been doing it for a while, and this will be, let's see, we was down there. This is the fourth year for being at Parkersburg, and previously we did two of them at Red Hill State Park.
Oh, okay.
Up at the chapel up,
yeah,
there.
But, that place is.
Do you look for high ground? Does that make a difference?
It helps in some cases, especially if you're working
away from poles, I guess, away from wires.
Not so much poles and wires. Building metal.
Oh,
away,
okay,
from metal. If there's been buildings, if it's out in the open, your signal gets out better.
Huh.
Now the other thing that this field day is tied to. 2016 is the 100th anniversary of the National Park System.
Right.
And the ARRL has been promoting having amateurs go out to national parks, and this is taking place all year, but Field Day is a dandy occasion to,
mm-hmm,
step up a little bit.
Sure.
They have been promoting operators going out to national parks, and a lot of camper people are ham operators.
Really?
Yes, they are.
They,
yes,
keep the equipment set up probably in their camper, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They have there's actually a net on HF that's high frequency. I don't remember what it's called. It's the RVer's net.
There's, yeah, an RVer's,
yeah,
net.
Separate network.
Yeah.
Well, separate ham operators that,
sure,
are RVers,
yeah,
and
dedicated to totally, yeah, like anybody can check
like
in.
Like digitally on a chat room. They have their own.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay.
Facebook page. Pick an example.
Okay.
You like,
anybody can check in.
So this national park thing.
Yeah, if you go out to a national park, make sure they'll let you set it up first, because you know antennas kind of take up a little real estate.
And the Rangers may not all gotten the memo that.
yeah, that's true. but
this is ham operator.
But
here.
If you happen to be out camping or fishing or whatever, and you see somebody with what looks like a set of monkey bars around their vehicle, go over and see if it's a ham operator.
Really?
You know. That sort of thing.
Well, that's pretty cool. What kind of participation are they getting? Have you heard any
word? I haven't heard any numbers back on that. We probably won't see anything till some of the issues of the trade magazines in next spring because all the logs will come in, they'll tabulate all that stuff, and then they'll publish it. But
okay, so all right. So
next year I'll have numbers for next you, year. So call me back next year.
All right, so we'll go back to this weekend at Alney. You get set up. Start at 1 o'clock. You're all set up. Who do you make contact with first? You're just basically throwing out a net, throwing out your call, and somebody in, say, East Chicago, Indiana might say, by the way, I hear that, and off we go.
CQ Field Day, this is W9GH, QSL.
That's the call.
That's the call.
Can you say that on this radio, or did we just get break
it's
the
It's a demonstration point.
Okay, Bill. Hey, you said it, man, not me. We are okay, right?
They're not going to
be okay.
Yeah.
I ain't going to say nothing about it.
So you'll throw that call out. Mm-hmm. And how far it depends, I guess it depends on how effective your antenna is running
is
at the time,
answer,
right?
You know. However the propagation is running and which direction we're, in the case of a directional antenna, pointed and all that sort of thing.
First one you might get is somebody up at that Flora Field Day.
Uh-huh.
Quite possibly, yes.
And how far will you get away during this field day? What's the...
Hawaii.
Oh, really?
Alaska.
What was the one you caught that one night? The Isle of Man?
Two years ago. I think it's St. John. I may have the name wrong, but it's out by Midway. And if everybody knows their World War II history,
yeah.
Midway is where they had the Japanese stronghold, and we took it from them. But the contact I made from there, from Parkersburg, 2 years ago was over 8,200 miles.
I was going to say, you can't get much farther around the world than that far.
Yeah,
you might be able to get another few thousand miles.
Sure.
But not
depending
much.
On propagation, atmospheric conditions, you can, and I've heard of it being done. I've never done it, but I've heard of it being done. You can take 1 watt. 1 watt. You can talk east, we'll say, and you can hear yourself coming back from the west.
That's true. That is absolutely
true. It has happened.
True.
It can be done.
Absolutely true.
With the right antenna and the right conditions, you can do it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's where we differ from CB uppers. They think they got to have all this illegal power, and it is illegal to run power on CB, but there's a lot of people that do it. If they do it, that's their thing, but they think, oh, I got to have all this power to talk, you know, 20 mile. And I go, I can talk 20 mile on a half a watt.
Yeah.
Our regulation states whatever power is sufficient to maintain a readable contact.
Right.
So you may call with 1,500 watts, which is our maximum power limit.
Sure.
But during the course of the conversation, you may turn it down to 50.
Oh, really?
Or something.
Because you're maintaining.
You're already,
you're maintaining conversation with Joe Blow in Montana.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is great.
A lot of science involved.
There apparently is. You realize I missed that day at school.
We have classes.
Really?
He and I teach.
We're going to talk about how folks can get started in ham radio and that kind of stuff when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show. I've got Bill Schroed here and Dennis Poland, and we'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield after these. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. This is we're talking amateur radio today with Bill Schrode and Dennis Poland. And we've been talking all kinds of stuff about the big field day going on this weekend, right?
Yes, sir.
If somebody wants to get involved in ham radio, Bill, what's the first thing to do just to learn more information about it?
Well, we've got a couple of websites. You got those?
Yep, I got them. If anybody wants to get into amateur radio, you can go to the club, our club website. Our club is the Radio Amateur Downstate Illinois Organization, RADIO, and there's a period up to every letter.
All right.
And it's listed as that.
In front of that.
It's listed as that. You can go to IllinoisHamRadio.org. That's our club's website. On Facebook, we have a group page. It's facebook.com/groups/radio. W9GH, and that's all in all caps.
Okay.
There's a like page on Facebook, facebook.com/radio W9GH in all caps. And we have two email addresses for information about the club. It's info W9GH at yahoo.com, all lowercase, and radiohamtest@gmail.com.
How long have you been doing this, Dennis?
I've been a ham since 1991.
How about you, Bill?
I got into ham radio late. I got in 2010, but I've been a broadcast engineer and all kinds of for 30 some odd years.
What made you decide to get in after you'd been working in, already been in radio for 30 years?
I always wanted to do this, and I never had time to study for it or take the exams.
Really?
And because I was, my last couple of jobs in the industry, I was a one-man shop for 5-6 stations at a crack with transmitters spread all over God's little acre. And so I was out in the field more than I was anywhere, anywhere else.
Yeah, I'll bet you were.
You know, you got it lucky here. Everything's in one building.
feel lucky.
Yeah. But so I finally got, when I got settled back in Illinois, I really want to get into this. So, so I bought the books and I sat down and
How easy entry is it? I mean, if somebody, because I mean, it sounds like I know some folks. I've got a friend of mine, like I said, who's involved with it. But it's not just buying the radio and you turn it on and you go, is it?
There's three levels: technician, general, and extra class.
Okay.
Dennis and I are both extra class.
Okay. I've always been told I have extra class.
Like a personal
problem.
You
probably do. There's several ways you can go about doing it. The ARRL puts out books, MFJ.
Which we use in our classes.
MFJ Enterprises down in Mississippi. A lot of people say it stands for Mississippi's Finest Junk, but
works.
It works. And the W5YI, which Fred Maya, who is a silent key, he's been deceased for, I think, about 10, 15 years.
Well, he's certainly a silent key now.
Yeah. Him and Gordon West had a school going, and the group in Texas kept his call, and he sells books. Gordon West actually writes the books, and Bill and I both have the new technician manual by Gordon West, signed by Gordon.
Really?
We got to see Gordon West
Two years ago.
2 years ago up in Peoria. We
the
took
statewide ham fest is up in Peoria.
So now this Saturday, somebody's interested in listening today and think, you know, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Come on.
Somebody might be interested. This is basically an opportunity for somebody to come in and say hello and meet some of the.
I will have books there, at least the first two levels. I haven't got the new books yet. They just changed the extra exams, so their new books are out. But we will be there. We will be glad to answer questions. We also teach classes for this. Dennis, myself, and my wife, who is also an extra class, KC9UKV, teach classes when we can get 8 or 10 people together to have a class. It takes about 8 weeks, a couple nights a week.
Twice a week for about 8 weeks. Unless I think that they're getting it. Then sometimes it's quicker.
You just set them free.
If they're not, then, you know, I break it down. When Bill and I taught our first class in 2014 over at Lawrence in Lawrenceville, Illinois, for the Lawrence County Memorial Hospital.
Uh-huh.
We had three nurses and two maintenance men in there, plus we had three walk-ins from outside the hospital.
Sure.
They said they had no problem with it, and the nurses were having problems with some of the formulas. So I told them, I go, why don't you substitute the formulas that you ladies use every day, and it's like liters and milligrams, for some of the formulas like hertz and ohms and
stuff.
Oh,
I see
like
what
that.
You're saying. Just change
go,
the
yeah, just change the
change
base,
the terminology.
Change the unit. And they go, I didn't know it was
a
like that.
A lot of it is decimal math.
Sure.
There's not that much to it. You just have to think about how you recognize it.
Well, you know, and another to me good thing about amateur radio is you can get into it without taking out a mortgage, can't you? I
mean, no, you can.
It's pretty. It's reasonable.
We teach a class. The books, depending on who you get them from, the prices went up for us. I think they're 25.
They're about 30 bucks.
Yeah, but the equipment though is.
The equipment is, you can buy used equipment.
You can get that. Well, let me rephrase this. You can spend whatever you want. Let me read.
Yes.
You could spend a lot on it and have like the Cadillac of systems, or your system will work probably just fine, just barely getting started.
There are 5-digit list price radios out there, but you don't have to start there.
ICOM's got one, I think, list for like $12,995, and it does everything but make coffee for you.
they're expensive. I started out with a handheld, a walkie-talkie,
yeah,
that I bought a $150 amplifier for.
Right.
I strapped those two together, and that was my first VHF UHF mobile, and
yeah,
my total cost was about $350.
How about that?
To get started.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
But we will teach classes, and in the classes, your final exam, quotation marks, is your license exam.
Uh-huh.
We are also authorized as an examination team,
sure,
a volunteer examiner team. We will give you the test. We will pass the paperwork on to the proper authorities, and you will get your license in the mail in about 2 weeks.
That's pretty cool.
No, they don't do that no more.
Well,
no.
They don't mail. Oh, that's
no.
Right. They email
yeah, they,
us stuff.
They changed the licensing thing, and you have to go online, and it takes about 2 weeks, and it'll show up on the FCC ULS database. That's Universal Licensing System. And until then, you can't operate until it appears there. Then once it appears there, you can print it out and go from there.
Is that right?
Yeah. Once you show up with your name next to a set of call letters, you're good to go.
Well, tell me again before we get out of here, what time you're going to be showing up there on Saturday. And this is, by the way, another hobby where you can put as much time into it or as little as you want.
Yeah,
right?
Bill and I will probably be there at 7:30 Saturday morning to get stuff set up. We're going to take some stuff to the building Friday night. That way we don't have to pack a bunch Saturday. We'll start setting up. I've asked that our club members be there by 8 o'clock to help out. If that's all they do is help us set up, that's fine. If they don't, if they want to operate, you know, that's on them. We're also having our club meeting that night after our evening meal. If anybody wants to come and eat, they have my permission, because I don't think everybody's going to complain, because I'm the one that takes the heat, since I'm the president of the club.
What's the food? What's the menu?
We're having cold cuts, and the club is furnishing that, and the drinks, and whoever shows up brings a covered dish.
Sounds good.
And then our meeting will be after we eat.
And in the meeting, we can explain things to you, you know, and that sort of thing.
So what's your goal? What's your goal this weekend? Are you looking for... your goal, how many contacts are you looking to make, Dennis?
I'm not looking to make any at all myself. I'm not.
You're not going
to
be running the
neither of us are really contesters, so just kind of...
What I'm looking for is club participation, how many of our club members will come out and operate instead of just coming to do nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't
watch.
Last year we had a couple guys that heard us on the radio. I think they was from Florida, wasn't they? Or they was down here.
No, they was from Fairfield.
Yeah, they come
were
up
from
and,
Fairfield.
And they help us set up.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I go, well, how did you guys hear about us? And we heard you on
the Bruce Dickey Show.
Yep. Heard us on your show, and it's like, okay, and we end up selling a couple books.
How about that?
We talked to the guy, and he goes, man, where's that guy coming in at? And I had it hooked up, and they thought the guy was in Illinois, because there's a town that's the same in Illinois. I go, nah, he's up in Michigan.
And oh, really?
He goes, you're talking from Parkersburg, Illinois to Michigan, and that's where our field day is at.
For free.
And it's in Parkersburg, Illinois, right off of Illinois Route 130.
Where in Parkersburg?
At the Parkersburg Community Building.
Okay. That's going to be a lot of fun.
There'll be signs out within a few hundred feet. So.
Did you have a phone number or anything you wanted to make sure anybody got out? I didn't know if you said anything.
If anybody wants to contact me, you can call my cell phone at
area code, Dennis Poland.
Yeah, 618-354-1879. And you want me to give yours?
Yeah, go ahead.
You can contact Bill at his home phone, 618-442-7718. Do you want your cell phone or no?
No.
Okay. No. Okay. Fellas.
If I ain't out in the truck, I don't have my cell phone.
I carry mine with me.
I don't blame you. Fellas, I appreciate you coming on today. Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. And hopefully, best of luck.
If you're bored this weekend, you know.
Come on up.
I will see what I'm doing. We'll see what my wife. Let me rephrase that. Let's see what my wife's making me do.
Probably be too hot to do anything outside.
Might be. This is the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. We'll talk to you all tomorrow. Have a great day.
See you guys.